Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hey. Ooh, so anyway, either way, I'm super happy. Broadcasting live from the new house. This is Tiffany.
Ah, happy new home. Finally.
I know, right? I mean, cheese and rice. Is that even how people say it?
That's what I love saying, cheese and rice. I don't say it often enough.
But no, it feels so good. Like I was saying earlier to you, Mandy, like it feels like, what? I don't even miss that old place. I'm like, what old thing? I feel like, you know, breaking up with like a bad boyfriend. And I'm like, I totally move on with this new guy. And the new guy is amazing.
You're out the halfway hood.
Exactly. Isn't that crazy? I don't live in a halfway hood anymore.
But I am sad for the children that you always talk about Superman provides pizza for and juice boxes. What are they going to do?
I know, but honestly, like where he works is right next to it. So I was like, I have to go visit my babe, Minnie. She's like the perpetual 4-year-old. I'm like, Minnie, are you 4? She's like, I'm 7. I'm like, Minnie, do you grow? She's like, no. And so, yeah, I do. I am going to miss them. I think I am going to like, you know, go by and visit because that is the, you know, the one sad thing is that I miss like all the little babies around there. And it's cute because my sister, when she drops off my niece and my nephew to just like for me to babysit, they love coming. They call it, my Nigerian name is Udo. So they call it Auntie Udo's house. They're like, they know that there's like a playground in the back and the kids always have a sprinkler going on. So last time she brought them here, they were like, where is this place? This is not Auntie Udo's playground. So they were highly disappointed at my new house.
Kids are so suspicious of new locations.
They were like, this is cute or whatever. Where are the kids? So.
Yeah, we're hosting a barbecue for the 4th of July. And the first thing I've learned since all my friends have had kids is that keep the kids entertained. Like before I bought food or anything else, I was like, we need a kiddie pool. Yep. We need some water guns. The kind that parents don't have to run and refill every 5 seconds because that drives them crazy. I've seen that happen. No fucking bubbles. Oh, excuse me. Sorry. That's how I feel about bubbles.
Really?
I have seen, yes, it like, no, there's never a kid not crying at the end when you bring out bubbles because, you know, we have smaller kids we're on the smaller side in my friend group and like they want to hold it themselves, but they're going to tip it over. The bubbles are going to be over within 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And then they're going to be screaming
bubbles because like, I can't, unless you get, which I did get for my nephew once, it was like a bubble. I got it from like Amazon. It's literally like the bubble thing like rotates like a windmill. And then there's like a little fan behind it. It's like, you know, like $6 or something.
Yes.
And it blows bubbles for you. So there's that.
Those are clutch, but they only distract for so long, you know?
I put them up high and I let them go crazy. I don't know what it is about kids and dogs. They love bubbles.
They do, but I decided no bubble wars at my party, just water wars and some like little, kitty things. So I'm excited for that. We had like what do you call it? A stress test this past weekend where Enrique, my husband's mom, was supposed to come with a couple of aunties. And I should have known better. A couple of aunties turned into like 15, 16, 17, 18.
Say, there's no such thing as a couple of aunties.
The entire Inwood in the Bronx came to my backyard. I was just like, oh, who else is coming? Okay, cool. That's great. Glad we have enough hamburgers and hot dogs. But yeah, it's summertime when you got a house. What are you going to do?
I know. That was cool because I think it was like the next day after we moved in. It was like my sister came with the kids. And I was like, oh, okay. And then like my doorbell rings, it was like my friend Carell. I was like, oh, hey. And then like an hour after that, Drina came by. I was like, hey. And then Drina bought her baby. Well, he's four, but still he's baby. And then Drina's husband came. And then our neighbor, it was like literally from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Because I was like, oh, I have all these plans. This Saturday, I'm going to do all this unpacking. I did nothing. I ended up getting pizza. And like, I was like, oh my gosh. Like, but it was so nice because we had not had that many people over. And like, you know, because our apartment was so little, so really couldn't bear like all of those people, you know. But so it was just nice. I mean, it feels like home already. Well, home-ish because like we still have to get basically everything. We put together our bed that night, which was like, I actually really love this bed. But when you're tired from moving, you're like, to get the Allen key so you could put up a headboard, you're like, oh, just shoot me.
I'll never forget the pain. Because when you put together a whole house, like, did you guys get brand new everything? Like,
just about, yep.
The boxes, Tiffany.
Yes.
Our whole backyard was like covered in boxes and packaging. And I felt like we had to hire a dump, like a special junk company to come take away our crap. Because just like the number of packages, like, it was crazy. My hands, like, your hands don't feel the same for like a week from all the untaping and like screwing things. Yeah.
And then just using new things. Cause I was like, okay, I'd never used this oven before. So, you know, you don't realize how used to you are to your stuff. So I'm like using the dishwasher, like, what am I doing wrong? And then I'm like, oh, I'm like, where's the manual? Then I'm like, you know what? Where's the YouTube video? Cause these days, who wants to read a manual? So thank God for YouTube. That's like a little pro tip that like, if you're using your appliances and stuff for the first time and you're like, you don't understand. I was like on the phone with like on hold waiting for Best Buy so I could fuss and be like, my hood is not working. And then meanwhile, then as I was like waiting, I watched a YouTube video. I was like, you pressed the wrong button. I was like, let me hang up.
Yeah, so, bless the people who take their time to walk you through how to use the knobs on all the appliances. I don't know who they are or how they make money, but bless them.
Why not all heroes wear capes? Well, what else is going on in the world and things?
Oh, you know, that's all I got. I'll get to my brown. You can just hear the tone in my voice. I'm going to have a brown break for later. But no, things are good. I think summertime is hitting generally the workforce. I work with a lot of we have a staff, but we also rely on contractors and freelancers a lot. And every summer they start to slip and the work gets a little bit worse and they stop. This isn't my break, but I'm just, you know, I have multiple breaks today. Yeah, so that's what I've been dealing with is like the free, and it's not just at work either, freelancers. And I understand because you're a freelancer, your time is your own, you know, we're not your boss ultimately. So you can start to slip if you want. It's a bad way to keep clients, I would say, but yeah. It happens like clockwork every summer, every Christmas, holiday time. But I've noticed like, with our dog walkers, I've been using the dog walking app WAG. I've talked about it before. And I cannot keep a dog walker. Like, they just cancel all the time. Today, I had to run home because the one dog walker just didn't show up at all. And usually, they're quick about finding a replacement, like a sub. But then that one didn't show up. And then my poor dog, and I was in meetings back to back, and it wasn't until 4 o'clock when I was like, I haven't gotten my WAG alert. Where is Molly? And poor baby was in her room all day. And I felt so guilty. And I I know like my friends who leave their dogs at home all day are like, what? Stop beating yourself up. Like, we leave our dogs at home for 12 hours. But I just feel so bad. You know, I really want to give her the life she deserves.
So is it like, so when you lead them home, right? So they know, like Molly knows not to go in the house. So she's just holding it. Is that the issue?
Well, today, of course she peed because she was alone for way too long and she's so used. She's on like a toddler, you know, she's on a schedule. I pee at 2 outside, but there was no 2 p.m. dog walker today. I don't know how long she held it. I haven't watched the tapes back, but I know she held it all day and at least she didn't go number 2. It's fine. I just felt so bad. I was like, I know you had to go. Okay. I'm not going to do my crazy voice.
But meanwhile, Molly's like, I did go and I'm fine.
I know. She's like, give me treats. So I made sure I gave her the good kibbles. And, you know, I'm just being ridiculous. But, you know, it's hard. Even just being a dog parent, it's hard times.
Yeah. No, I can't imagine. Honestly, I had a cat, but I'm like, I just can't imagine. Like, I feel like cats are so independent. I barely did anything. So I can't even imagine. Like the level of, because I see like my friends who have dogs. I had my friend Catherine was a cat person. She had two cats. And then like her sister one year gifted her this cute little puppy for her birthday. She was like, what? I don't even do dogs now. She's like, I'm like, where are your cats? She's like, who? What I tell you? She's like, she has totally become a dog person. And she's like, you know, she still loves her cats, obviously, but she's like, she is such a dog mom. She brings the dog to work. She's the CEO of a company. So she brings the dog to work. Everybody knows the dog. All the pictures are dogs. I'm like, when I'm on Instagram, I'm like, you are such a neglectful mom. Where are the cat pictures? Like, something like if the cat is randomly in the background. She's like, oh, yeah, yeah, there he goes. And then the dog with his best thought. I'm like, you know what?
Cats just don't love you like a dog does, you know? They just don't. I feel them. I did an interview yesterday with this like radio show about this study that we do at Magnify Money. I don't usually talk about it. We do so many studies. This one's one of my favorite that we do at Magnify. And I figured y'all might find it interesting since a lot of different media outlets are picking it up. But every year, a couple of years ago, I was like, anytime you do a story about people who earn six figures, just something about six figures just sounds like success, right? Yes. I want to earn six figures. And I was at a point in my life a while back where I was earning six figures and I was like, I don't feel rich. This doesn't feel like wealth. I still feel like I'm paycheck to paycheck. Now, granted, you know, I know people who earn, you know, less than that and, you know, are thinking, why are you whining? But in a dual income household, it's not that far-fetched to say you earn six figures. All you need is two people earning the minimum, you know, median household income in America, which is like 56 or 6, I forget if it's 56 to 60,000 or something like that. So we started looking at where a family of three, so a two earner household with a preschool age child in America, where you can earn six figures and still feel like you're not making ends meet. And last year we did the study and I think Washington, D.C. was the worst place where you had the least money left over in your bank account each month, or you were going into debt basically to provide like normal basic household needs like daycare and your mortgage and all that. This year, Washington, D.C. is number two. San Jose, California is number one.
Really?
Yeah. California. I mean, it's not so surprising because you have a lot of like West Coast. We have San Francisco, San Jose. But then the East Coast, New York is number eight. And I feel it. Minneapolis, actually, that was actually surprising to me. Minneapolis is number 10. Yeah. People only have in Minneapolis, a family only has about $150 left over when accounting for all those expenses. Yeah. So Honolulu coming in at number six. It's you know, a lot of places, and it's not just about the places where there's a negative balance left over at the end of the month, which was seven out of the metro areas we looked at, but it's also just like the places where you have $100, $200, $300 left over in the bank. And, you know, that's when you can feel like I'm doing everything right and there's just not anything left over, you know, to invest or to save for a house or pay off the debt and things like that.
That's the part that always is so disheartening to me. For me, is that I see so many people who are doing everything right. Like they're not buying the latte, you know, they're not.
Or the avocado toast. That's the right thing.
Like, you know what I mean? They're not splurging, you know? I mean, they're not living like, you know, what I call the noodle budget, which is when you just eat ramen noodles, you know, they're not doing that, but you know, but they're, and still it's really not enough. They're like, so how am I supposed to manage and do all of this? And honestly, I'm like, I don't know. That's the part that, you know,
honestly, like that's, I was talking and I'm like, at a certain point, like if you're living in a place where the dollar, like your dollars either, you know, we can say things like try to earn more money, try to increase your finances. But when you're in a place where the cost of living is so high and it's constantly working against you and you're not able to earn a wage, like an income that makes you, you know, feel comfortable. I think about all the time, you know, if I weren't earning what I'm earning now in New York City, I don't know if I could have sustained like a comfortable life here. And it's really hard to do. Like there's people at my company, because our headquarters is in Charlotte, North Carolina, people willfully choosing to leave New York to move down there because they're like, oh, I have a chance to have, you know, lower childcare expenses, property taxes, you know, those things that really eat transportation costs, even eat up like that big part of your budget. And I see more of my friends thinking about leaving New York because of that. How can I start a family here?
You know? You're right. Like having a second kid is like or even just one, it seems like a luxury because you're like, I mean, I honestly, as you know how, like, you don't, it's not until you get older that you start to really marvel at your parents. Cause you're like, how in the five, my G? I'm like, really, Arondi and Sylvia? Five in New Jersey?
What did they do?
I don't, honestly, and I do. And my mom is like, honestly, she's like everything. Like, she's like, I don't know. Like, the way my dad even got our house, you know, one of the things, like I hope to, like, if I could pray and ask for anything, it would be like the tenacity of my father. Because like he wanted us, we were living in Roselle. I think by then, I don't know if Lisa was born yet. I think she was, but he realized, okay, like we were in a private school, well, Catholic school, which wasn't super, super expensive, but enough to be like, yo, there's too many girls here. Something has to give. Either we spend the money on school, because in Roselle, the public schools weren't that great, or we spend the money on taxes. So my dad had done all this research on, like, what, you know, what New Jersey towns had, like, the best public school. So he would just pay the taxes. Found Westfield, which, you know, taxes are relatively high, but the school system is extremely great. But to get our house, they didn't want, like, what he and my mom made. My dad's an accountant, my mom is a nurse. I mean, decent money, but they, like, he couldn't get a mortgage anywhere. He finally had to show, I don't even know what made my dad think of this, but he was building a house in Nigeria, and it's a big, beautiful, huge house. And, but of course it doesn't, it's like dwarfs in the, like, for the price of what you could build in Nigeria. Somehow he brought the plans and proof that was building the second property to the bank. And from there, I guess they kind of like, were like, oh, well, you have more money than we thought. I have to ask my dad the exact story, but that's how he was able to secure a mortgage, because he was able to kind of prove, like, although it seems like we don't have as much, look, we're building a second home, so we do have money. And somehow, whatever the mortgage loan officer, I don't even know, the underwriter agreed, and we got our house in Westfield. And now, like, what they got the house in Westfield for now seems like pennies. At the time, he was like, all of his friends were like, yo, you're bugging. That house is way too expensive. How are you going to manage? It was $225 or $250, which, like, for like a, it's five bedroom, three full bath, two kitchens. So, you know, but back then it was like they're about 30 years ago, $250 or $225, that was a lot of money to pay for a house. And now, of course, the house is worth well over, like, because Westfield is such a great town, it's worth about maybe $750. But just the wherewithal to, like, sometimes, you know, you get a no and you have to creatively show that you are credit worthy. And that my dad just, you know, had the wherewithal to be like, no, I'm going to show them that I am credit worthy, because I want my kids to grow up and go to a really good school system. But I know we cannot afford to send them all to private school. But yeah, five, I don't know, when I asked them, because like, I mean, it was six figures coming into the house. Yes, but six figures is peanuts with five kids. It wasn't like they weren't making $200,000 a year collectively. Mm. I would say, you know, like maybe, I don't know, maybe 120. I don't even know, but definitely not even close to 200,000. But five children, two years apart. So, like, and except for the baby. So can you imagine all those daggone teenagers, hair, clothes?
I'm thinking about the childcare, like, because that's when you look at our study. Like, let's take, for example, what's number one? I said San Jose, California. The mortgage payment in San Jose, where's it at? Is about $2,700. Childcare is about half that at $1,300 for one child. So, like, that's, you know, half your mortgage payment. And in some places, that's like a full mortgage payment. And when you have when you have more than one child, you're just adding, and I know it's a temporary expense, but it's still like 3 years about, you know, where you're having to pay that each month. And I think that is what can really kill, can really just kill families if they don't have alternative childcare. Do you know what your parents did? Did you do like the newspaper nanny like my mom did? She just found like some random lady in the newspaper and dropped us off one day when I was six weeks old.
Well, the lady used to, I remember we used to have the lady, I remember like when we were really little, which is so crazy because we lived like in the damn near projects, but having a nanny is not a big deal in certain cultures. Like, that's what, you just have one. So we had a nanny while we were like living in the project, and she used to come. But I remember I would, I used to love about her is that she let me put cheese on my broccoli, and I thought that was everything. Because my mom was super my mom was a nurse, so everything we ate was like super bland sometimes. And I'd be like, ugh. Like, so I was like, I get cheese on my broccoli when Miss Such and Such comes. So from what I remember, we definitely were in daycare because I see pictures. But we also had like a nanny, you know, like kind of come to the house, I guess, to fill in the gap of like when my mom left and my dad came back, you know. Right. But yeah, I honestly don't know how, because I can remember going school shopping and just the amount of money and bags we had and just food shopping. My mom used to have to hit specialty stores just to make the most of our budget, like a bread factory, the butcher. Like she couldn't just go straight food shopping because we had to buy everything in bulk. You know, this is before the Costcos of the world. Yeah, I don't even know. I don't know how you even emotionally care for five kids, let alone financially. That's why, honestly, like whatever they need, my parents are always like, you guys are always so generous with us. I'm like, yo, five, we're here and alive. I don't know. Whatever you want is yours. You want to go to Mexico? What do you need, daddy?
I'm intrigued by, I wonder if our listeners, if you're, you know, I know we have listeners with kids out there. Do you use a nanny, and are you comfortable? I'll keep you anonymous. I'm curious. What does a nanny charge? Where do you live? How much do you pay for your nanny? Or like, where do you live and what do you pay for daycare?
All right, BA fam. Y'all know when it comes to financial advice, you have to trust your source. That's why you listen to Brown Ambition, right? And when I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. I've been a longtime fan of NerdWallet. In fact, I almost work there a couple of times because when it comes to financial experts and writing, they really know how to give you the best reviews of financial products. I honestly wouldn't sign up for a credit card today if I hadn't looked at a review on a site like NerdWallet myself. And honestly, if y'all haven't learned about NerdWallet, you're missing out. And with their help, what could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms of each credit card issuer apply.
This is when you can vent. Like, vent to us your childcare costs, because I'm curious. Both of us thinking about having kids. I think about this all the time. I'm like, what am I going in for? Because I'm just like terrified of how much it costs out here. I just don't know what to do. I do not.
Yeah. Well, my sister puts like, so my niece and my nephew, now that my nephew, thank God, is three, he could go to daycare becomes preschool. And in the state of New Jersey, preschool is considered public school. But before that, with the two kids, because they're only like a year and a half apart, she was paying $2,300 a month for daycare. I was like, yo, what? She's
for
like,
two kids,
$2,300 a month. Yeah. But thankfully, like, if you're someone who's kind of struggling, there's something my friend Linda is a social worker, and she was sharing that there are programs called, literally there's one called Program for Parents, where you can apply and based upon like what you make, they will supplement some of that payment. So they'll pay the school directly. So they'll look on a sliding scale and they might say, we'll pay 1,000 of that, you know? So don't hesitate to reach out and apply for programs for parents. Cause I remember when I taught preschool, we did have some parents that were using programs for parents, and sometimes they paid all of it depending on what you make. So there are like programs out there for childcare if you don't make much. But yeah, it's whoo child. When she said $2,300, I was like, so you literally just work to put the kids in daycare. She said just about.
Somebody out there, I know you can top that. I know I've got a friend paying more than $3,000 a month for two kids in daycare. So I know y'all can top that. Let me know. Also, it's not just daycare. It's like when you get into preschool or whatnot, sometimes it's after school care you got to pay for. Because like yep. Preschool ends at 3:30 and you're still at work till 6. And then
exactly.
The summertime comes and then it's summer camp. And I'm just
yes,
like,
that's exactly what she's going through now. God. She's like, her son is 3. So he's out for 2 weeks. And then they're like, so who watches him? You know, like, and then on top of that, he goes back, but it's not daycare. Well, it's daycare now because like, you know, public school is quote unquote out. So she's going to have to pay for that. So it's just honestly, children. Children are just so expensive. Like, forget clothes and hair. I'm just talking about like making sure that, you know, that you're, you know, you have someplace somebody can watch you. It's just, yeah, childcare is something else. I'm like, it's like one of those guaranteed businesses. It'll never go out of business because at some point someone has to watch kids. You know how many people, Mandy, that I know, literally one of the parents, like I was speaking to a woman today, her husband's a stay-at-home dad. Because they did the math and they were like, honestly, it actually makes more sense for one of us to stop working.
Oh, hell yeah. No, you hear that more and more. And when you're talking about mortgage payment or no, if you're not making more than that mortgage payment each month, then yeah. And I'm talking about like how a childcare cost can be as much as a mortgage. Yeah, I get it. And then it's sad because it's great to be stay-at-home parents are the best. And like, if you really love doing that, that's great. But if you're like forced into it financially, then you feel like you're putting your career on pause to, you know, stay at home. And I think we talked to Farnoosh Tarabi about that when she was on the show. Sometimes it's mm-hmm. like, as much as you want to avoid it, especially if you want, to have a sustainable career, to keep your career going, it can really just like delay your own advancement. But yet it becomes a necessity because it's like, who do I choose? My career or my kid? And of course, exactly. Your kid comes first.
Exactly.
Yeah. So yeah. You guys share your stories with us. Our email is brandambitionpodcast@gmail.com. You can hit us up. And if you're going to send me a long rant, please send it an email. Instagram rants are hard to read. I'd be scrolling for hours. So email brandambitionpodcast@gmail.com. You can hit us up with a shorter story at Instagram. Our Instagram handle is at brandambitionpodcast. On Instagram. And if you have a story in how many characters is Twitter these days? What are we at? 200 something? I forget.
Yeah, I think so.
Then if you have a very short story, hit us up on Twitter at the BA Podcast.
Segue. Questions. Honestly, questions have started to become my favorite part of the BA podcast because you guys ask such great questions. Although I will say sometimes you guys will message me on Instagram and sometimes the question is so like heavy. It's literally like, so I'm having open heart surgery. How do you do it? And you're like, what? I can't, what? Like, it's not literally like that, but you know what I mean? Like the question is so complex. I'm like, this can't possibly be answered on Instagram. So, yeah. Like Mandy said, if you do have
Nista, not the medical expert Nista.
Or you'd be surprised. Somebody asked me a question the other day. And I mean, it was a great question. It was about landlording. I think she was taking over an apartment or something. Like she had bought like a complex and there was a tenant that the current landlord didn't want to evict and was like, hey, you have to be the one to evict. And she was like, is it legal for me to, whatever the question is. And I was like, I don't know. I was like, well, one, I don't know what state you live in. There's different rights in different states. And two, I'm not a lawyer. And three, like, I don't consider myself like a real estate expert. I mean, I have a house. And we have a second house, but that doesn't qualify me to be like, ooh, what you need to do is, I mean, I always appreciate great questions, but sometimes I think you guys give me way too much credit. I'm like, two houses, a genius does not make me. But yes, but I love our questions that we get. So what are the good questions that we have now?
Ooh, how about a housing question to start things off since, you know, you love those. This person would like to remain anonymous. That's totally fine. Hi, ladies. I'm a new listener and I love the podcast. I'm in my late 20s and unfortunately I've mismanaged my credit, but I've decided to get serious using the combination of bringing in income from a side hustle and using the snowball effect to pay off my credit debt. I'm confident I can pay it off my credit cards and save a decent amount in 3 years, in which I'd be interested after that point in buying a home. But would I be eligible to buy a home if I've got the funds there and I've improved my credit over those 3 years? Or do you think the bank will still think poorly of me because of my past behavior? By the way, I've always paid bills on time. It's just more so that I have a high credit usage. Good question. And hey, you're in your late 20s, but you're getting your act together. That's pretty much like the pattern for most humans.
Yeah. You know, it's always so crazy to me when people like in their 20s are like, oh my God, I messed up. My life is over. And I know I was there before. I remember being 26 being like, I'm so old now. But no, in your 20s, you are like super, super
time young. Is on your side.
It is. It totally. I mean, not that it's not on your side in your 30s and 40s, but especially your 20s. That's literally the first decade of like true adulthood. Like no one's expecting you to be Albert Einstein when it comes to your money. But well, the bank is looking for a couple things, right? When you're buying a home. So one, they're looking to see just how much debt you already have. Like I'll give you an example. I was like super good. I had a great credit score, all that kind of stuff when I bought my condo when I was like 25, but I had student loan debt. They gave me so much trouble, even though on everything else, I was like an A+. So one, they're going to look at how much debt do you currently have, because banks don't like to see that you have a heavy debt burden, because they're like, well, what about us? We want to be your only real heavy debt burden. Two, they're looking at your credit score. So they're wanting to, you know, your credit score is basically like your financial GPA. So they're wanting to know, like, you know, have you, do you basically pay back? And so, you know, as I feel like in the last couple years, you've been pretty consistent. So it's not like you've got delinquencies from like 6 months ago. If it's been 3 years or more, I don't know how heavily they'll count that against you. Is really what your credit score is going to kind of dictate, especially if you've got low debt. And especially if like the last couple years you've been like on point with it. And then, of course, they're going to want to see, like, do you have like the down payment? Do you have money, like actual cash, like set aside? Because it's not just your down payment. People forget there are closing costs that are associated with purchasing a house. So that's really what they're going to be most. Those three things are what's going to be like what they're most concerned with. And so as long as those three things are in alignment, you should be OK. Banks know that people make mistakes, but really, like most creditors, mortgage people are really concerned with what have you done most recently, because this is a snapshot of your current financial character. So something from like, you know, years ago, although not to say that it's not like they're going to totally ignore it, but if what you're doing now offsets that, there's still a strong potential that you'll be able to get a mortgage without any major issue.
Yeah, and the key there is that they really are looking at what's happened in your life the last 12 months, especially. So if you're looking 3 years down the road, you can have this debt paid down. You're going to get those balances down as long as you don't rack up that credit card debt behind after you make those payments, which it can be tempting to do once you finally got your cards paid off. Just be really diligent about getting your usage down as low as possible. And in 3 years, you know, I don't see why you would have a problem, especially if, like you said, you haven't been delinquent on your payments. You're probably just racking up debt and making the minimum payment on time and, you know, and keeping your credit in good standing. But what could kill you is the credit utilization rate. So how much credit you're using versus how much credit you have. So as long as you've got that taken care of and you've got a plan to pay it down, which it sounds like you do, you know, you should be in good shape. Just be careful about racking up debt the year you're about to get a mortgage, opening up new credit the year you're going to have a mortgage. That's a big red flag. A lot of people think, oh, I'm going to get a mortgage. I need to show the bank I can do this. Let me get a new credit card. Or I'm going to get a mortgage. Let me go ahead and take out finance some new furniture. And that can really screw up your application because one, it adds debt to your debt to income ratio, which is how much debt you have versus how much income you have coming in. And if it's happening during the underwriting process, like when you're already applying with the bank and they're vetting you out, it can like freak them out. Oh no, this person's not, you know, isn't consistent or, you know, they're not financially stable enough to not need credit right now. So they're taking out new credit and it can throw a wrench in your whole plan. So just be cautious. But it sounds like you're on the right track, my friend.
Yeah, no, it does.
And thank you for your question. Appreciate that. Let's go switching over to the email inbox. That question was from Instagram. Let's see. Oh, emergency fund question. So this comes from listener. Let me see. Does she want to be anonymous? Nope. Paulette. Hey, ladies, apologies if you already answered this question, but how do you come up with the magic number for the amount of money to save for an emergency fund, and where do you save it? Keep up the great work.
So, Paulette, para mí, you see my Spanish there? Mm-hmm. Call me Cory Booker and whatever the guy's first name is. You see the silent shade? I can shade Cory.
Pete Buttigieg.
Yes, right?
Beto O'Rourke.
First of all, did you see Corey's face when he started speaking Spanish? She was like, wait, that was going to be my thing. Like, it was hilarious. But everyone who I know speaks Spanish was like, yo, it was the worst display of that language I've ever seen. So for me, I like to, 3 or 4 months is enough for me, but it depends what industry that you're in and how quickly you could recover from basically job loss. That's what I like to use as a measuring stick. So one of my sisters is an engineer. So if she were to lose her engineering job, it's not super easy, especially for a Black woman, to secure another engineering job. So she might need like a year. My mom, when she was a nurse, she's now retired. Honestly, I remember when her hospital closed down and nurses are still in high demand, that she had a job before the hospital had even fully closed because nurses were in such high demand. I mean, she had like 10 hospitals. Like, I remember every day they were calling the house, like, is your mom home? Is your mom home? So for her, a couple months is more than enough because she could replace that income. So really, how quickly could you replace your income in your industry? And I like to save my savings in an online only savings account. I always direct people to Magnify Money, Mandy's company. Well, I know it's not her company, but you know what I mean. They're to magnifymoney.com because I like to find an online only savings account. And I at the banks, I you look for an FDIC insured bank, 2, highest interest rate, 3, lowest required deposit. And then 4, you're also going to make sure that interest rate like doesn't go down if you don't have a certain amount, because there's certain banks where it's like, you, in order to earn this interest rate, you have to have like $25,000 in our bank and maintain that balance. I think, like I said, 3 months or above, depending on what industry you're in, and I like online only banks, and I always go to Magnify Money when I'm looking for an online only bank, and I don't open up a checking account with that bank because I want that the only way I can get my money is to transfer back to my regular brick and mortar bank, because there's like a delay of about 24 to 48 hours that stops me from overspending.
Yeah. I mean, the key with an emergency fund, as far as where to save it is, there's an emergency fund, which is like, you know, your car breaks down in the middle of the road and you need money transferred over, or your roof collapses and you need a hotel for the night or something like that. And for that, I would say keep it in an account that you can access immediately. Like, you know, even if you have to have one small emergency fund tied to an account that you know you can go to the ATM and pull it out, which that applies to online banks too. You know, I have Ally, I have a debit card, I can go to ATM and withdraw from my savings if I need to. And then if you've got, you know, you want an emergency fund for like Tiff said, the big things, job loss, illness, medical debt, things like that, definitely keep that where you can earn the highest rate, even if it's a little bit more inaccessible, because you won't need to access it, you know, within an hour or something if something crazy happens. But since we're talking about like savings and stuff, you know, the Fed is looking like they're going to be potentially lowering rates. And some banks, like I got an email from Ally that their savings rate is going down, not a ton. I think it's going from 2.2% APY to 2.1% APY. But just saying, like the period, and that's about savings rates. You can probably expect to see rates fall if the Fed does cut deposit rates. Rates fall on things like CDs as well. So we're just kind of entering this new period where for so long it's been the online banks competing and ratcheting up their rates and giving people higher and higher returns. And, I don't know, it seems like that might be slowing down a little bit.
Slowing down, mm-hmm.
Which just means it's even more important to shop around, like Tiffany said, and make sure you're getting the best deal. Because there are still some places out there that are giving higher rates.
Mm-hmm. But just be mindful, because sometimes like Ally, that's my bank as well. But so sometimes there are definitely banks that give more than Ally, but they're like those kind of like, you know, these are like kind of like introductory rates. So, rates, yeah. You know, you're like, woohoo, yay, they're giving me 2.5 to Ally's 2.2. But then if you really look at the fine print, you're like, oh, for the first 6 months or for a year or whatever that is. So you're going to want to look for a bank that will steadily give you that rate. And you're not, because you don't want to, and I used to do that. I used to bank hop like a lot. And honestly, it's too much. So I really wanted to stick with the bank that, you know, had like a steady, sure interest rate that wasn't fluctuating like month to month, you know?
No, that's a really good point. You is smart.
I'm smart sometimes.
What do you mean an expert?
Exactly. You want to take one more question?
Oh, no. Okay. I got to go.
Okay, that's no problem.
I gotta go. Dog. You know my dog. My dog mom guilt. I gotta hug Molly. But thank you guys for your questions. We'll get to more next week. Again, go to brownambitionpodcast.com to click the Ask Us Anything tab. That'll send us an email. You can email us directly, brownambitionpodcast@gmail.com. Or, yes, or go to Instagram and direct, or what do you call it? Direct message us. Golly. DM us.
Are you a millennial? I know. You already knew. I was like, give me that card back. Give me that millennial card back.
Send us an Insta mail at the gram. We're at Brown Ambition Podcast. Can't even get the name out. At Brown Ambition Podcast on Instagram. I also love when you guys share that you're listening to the show, and I actually did a better job sharing y'all's stories last week. So let us know when you're listening to the show on your Wednesday commute. Take a snapshot of your favorite part of the show or yourself listening, whatever you want to do, and we'll share it. It could be one big Brown Ambition party.
Yes, please. Yes, tag. Because I love clicking the reshare button. Now it's time for wins. Oh my gosh, yo, that was a throwback. Now it's time for brown break or brown boost. I feel like we do like more boosts, which is great, and breaks, which are you know, I mean, they're great too, but you know, I feel like thankfully we do more wins. Yes. So are you gonna break or are you gonna boost?
I know I said I was going to do a break. I kind of have done enough winding for one episode though. So I'm going to flip it, because as I was sitting here, I was feeling warm and fuzzy because my neighbors, honestly, you know, I've been in the burbs for about a year now, technically about 6 months because we were out for the renovation. But I have just, you know, we just found this little stretch on our little block where the people on either side of us are just so nice. And they have been the people who I can call and text when our dog walker bails and we need someone to let our dog out. Or, you know, if we have a package that we don't want on our doorstep and they can bring it in. And they are just the sweetest people. So shout out to people who have good neighbors and getting to know your neighbors. It was a little awkward at first. It's way more awkward, I feel. Well, actually, it was awkward in the city, too. Like in apartments, I feel like I never knew my neighbors. It's a little awkward to like get to know other grown adults living their life, but I'm so happy that we have, because we don't have anybody else out here. Like we're probably 20 minutes from our closest relative and they have kids, that, you know, need their attention. So they can't come to our rescue all the time. So we've really leaned on our neighbors lately and they've saved our butts on multiple occasions. And just got a text from a neighbor, Arnando, calling him out. His teenage son is going to be Molly's dedicated dog walker.
Woohoo! That's summer. Awesome. Yay!
So, I'm just like, please, someone, please. Molly is the best dog. Please, someone treat her right.
Oh, that's awesome.
So yay for neighbors.
Yeah, yay for neighbors. Well, I've got a brown break and a brown boost. So brown break first is for professional comparison. So Lately I've been like, you know, like on the socials, and usually I'm not, but like, you know, just I unfollowed a bunch of folks who like do basically the same thing I do. Like, even though like we're cool in real life, because I had like this really bad habit of like professional comparison and then using it as a way to be like, Tiffany, you're not doing good, you know? But I found myself like, I was like, I could totally follow people. Like, again, it's not a biggie. Like, you know, these are like my actual real, like financial friends. That's what I call my financial friends. So like, we talk on the phone, we kind of connect. And I was like, oh, I'm not following. So I need to follow such and such. I unfollow so fast. Unfollow. Because I realized I'm not over the professional comparison like thing. And I'm like, you know, and even though I know I'm doing well, I don't think I'm not doing well. But then, you know, you start saying, oh man, did I miss out on that opportunity? Or, oh, should I do that too? Or dang, you know, everyone seems to have been chosen for a certain campaign. They didn't choose me. No one called me. And I'm like, oh my God, Tiffany, honestly, are you five? No. So yeah, I don't, if you guys have any tips about how to get over it, maybe there is no way, I don't know, about how to get over kind of like not even, well, because I feel like in my personal life, I don't do that, but definitely professionally, I find myself doing that, using sometimes other people's moves to measure whether or not I'm doing a good job or not. And I don't want to do that. That's why I said I unfollowed basically like all my real life financial friends and folks that do the same thing as me, because I couldn't seem to get past like looking and being like, oh, dang, what does that say about where I am? And, you know, because I know, like, I know I'm doing well. I used to be a preschool teacher, for goodness sake. Not that that's like something bad, but from where I was to where I am now, of course I know that, you know, I'm proud of myself and I'm doing well. That's why I hate when I look at something and someone's killing it and I'm like, yes, go girl, you killed it. And then this other voice comes in and says, are you killing it, Tiffany? She's killing it.
God, you just reminded me of this meme that Viola Davis shared yesterday. It was like this evil, it was like evil Barbie whispering in good Barbie's ear. Anyway, what I'll say is I think it's human nature to compare ourselves. And the thing about being an adult that's so damn hard is that the measuring sticks are gone. Like when you were in school, I was hella competitive. I knew there was a list. People got grades. You got GPAs. There was a valedictorian, a salutatorian. You know, you got awarded every 4 years for graduating. There were gold stickers and ribbons and award ceremonies. And you always kind of knew where you were at with your peers. And you could compare yourself and strive. And I think competition makes you better in that way. When you're an adult, like we're all out here living our own lives. There's no one measuring stick. And it gets hard. And like Instagram and social has become that measuring stick. But it's so ineffective because it's biased. Yeah. Obviously, the other person is only posting the highlight reel. And it's just toxic. And, you know, that's a big part of why I pulled away from Instagram the past year and a half. You know, career be damned. I'm sorry. I just my mental health and just my own self-worth came into play. And I think if you need social media for your career as much as you can, just try it, like the way that you've unfollowed people, like thinking of ways to protect yourself.
Yes. And that's what I've done. I get the job done of what I need to do on social. I do a lot of like, and my team does a lot of scheduling. So that way it's like, it's out, but I don't have to necessarily like go. And what I started to do on Instagram, which has helped a lot, is I used to follow like, you know, like professionally, like follow, and I still do somewhat like business accounts, but I follow way more. I love old homes. I follow way more historic houses and like interior design and like all this other stuff that so I can, when I go on Instagram, I'm flooded with like 80% like stuff that like, you know, I'm wanting to see, not stuff that's going to make me say like, ooh, girl, like such and such, you know, I don't know, got booked to do the, you know, whatever your like your favorite bank or whatever, how come you didn't get booked? So I don't get this. I don't see that as much, but I guess what the part that's hard for me is that I wish I didn't feel like that. And it's like, well, what, you know, like, what exercises can I do? What mental exercises can I do that way I can follow folks and not feel like, you know, not use it as a reason to be like, Tiffany, you could definitely be doing better. And I'm like, when I know that, you know, I like where I am, you know, I'm happy where I am. I'm proud of how far I've come. So that's the brown break. It's figuring out what does that like, what, I don't know if anyone's kind of like cracked the code on, you know, letting go of that comparison. Like they say, comparison is the thief of joy, child. There is nothing more true. My brown boost is just the Ring. So we have the Ring. We finally have internet. And so the Ring doorbell is everything. Okay. Let me tell you, I was in the office today working in my new office in my new house. And I, you know, got a little notification. It was the Amazon people. And I could see the girl who very roughly threw my box, but whatever, but threw it on the front porch. And I was able to go downstairs and get it right away versus like not knowing when something was delivered. So I love this Ring app. It is great. Like I could see when Superman is coming home. I could see when anyone comes on the front porch. And it just shows like the Ring app also connects to something called Neighbor Next Door or something like that, where I can see like other people's Ring stuff that they posted. So if there's like there's a kid that was like checking everybody's car doors a couple nights ago, I guess looking for change. And so like, you can kind of see like, you know, just be mindful, everybody lock your car door. So I love this Ring. And I know that the Ring guy was on Shark Tank, and I think he got like denied. And of course now it's like a huge business, but honestly, the ring is everything. Get it? Ring everything. Anyway, that's my brown boost.
Love it. We're a nest family. Okay. But there's so many new systems out there, and I just love having surveillance on my little tiny house, which feels kind of ridiculous, but gives me peace of mind. You feel isolated in the suburbs. It's quiet out here.
Mm-hmm.
Like my first few months living in this house, I was terrified at night. Any creak?
I remember.
Yeah, and I felt like such a big baby, and I remembered as a child, I was really spooked out, too, by all the noises in my house. It gives you that peace of mind, and a dog helps, too, so I'm on team, get a dog.
That's true, because if you run up in there with a dog, I don't care how cute and color your dog is, that dog's going to give you the business.
That's great.
Well, it's been awesome as per usual. Let's do this again next week, shall we?
I mean, why not? Let's keep it going. Keep the party going. Well, good luck with the new house. Can't wait to see it.
Yes. Don't
worry. Enjoy nesting.
I know. Oh, so many things. All right, y'all. We will talk to you next week. Thank you for joining Brown Ambition as per usual.
Let's close it with Spanish. Adios, amigos.
With Cory Booker Spanish.
Which was like Arnold Schwarzenegger. It was like Arnold Schwarzenegger speaking Spanish.
Hasta luego.
Aww. Rosario Dawson was like, obey. We worked on this.
All right, Mandy, bye.
Bye.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.